E-tidings, Cosmos. Good morning, 21st Century World of Worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tá míle fáilte rath anseo. I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. Have you ever noticed the way a time moment tries as much as it can to hold on to a change, attempts by any means necessary, such as by language, to prevent it from transforming into another change? This, it seems to me, to be the preoccupation of time moments. All day long and all night through, this is the only thing they ever want to do. Better it is, as such for me, to avoid them as much as possible. For they are way too static for my liking. My liking by far is for transformations, for they are all about movement within stillness. And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, "With viewing a high blue sky of a day, a sky yet having a fine scattering of sizable clouds, he noticed how they were floating along at a nice pace, while in the trees about him there wasn't even the slightest puff of wind. On other days, he witnessed the opposite, in that there was a strong wind in the trees, while the clouds seemed not to be moving. And again, on other days, both the clouds and the trees were floating and swaying. And in such days, he wondered whether there was any wind or not in the midway between the clouds and the trees. He used to love the fresh feeling in the air after a shower of rain, and to be viewing the starry heavens after a storm. In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from Prince Hamlet, The Republic, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from Prince Hamlet. Safely stowed. Hamlet! Lord Hamlet! What noise! Who calls on Hamlet? Oh, here they come. What have you done, my lord, with the dead body? Compounded it with dust whereto 'tis kin. Tell us where 'tis, that we may take it thence and bear it to the chapel. Do not believe it. Believe what? That I can keep your counsel and not mine own. Besides, to be demanded of a sponge, what replication should be made by the son of a king? Take you me for a sponge, my lord? Aye, sir, that soaks up the king's countenance, his rewards, his authorities. But such officers do the king best service in the end. He keeps them like an ape in the corner of his jaw, first mouthed to be last swallowed. When he needs what you have gleaned, it is but squeezing you, and sponge you shall be dry again. I understand you not, my lord. I am glad of it. A knavish speech sleeps in a foolish ear. My lord, you must tell us where the body is, and go with us to the king. The body is with the king, but the king is not with the body. The king is a thing. A thing, my lord, of nothing. Bring me to him, hide folks and all after. I have sent to seek him and to find the body. How dangerous it is that this man goes loose. Yet must not we put the strong law on him. He's loved of a distracted multitude who like not in their judgment put their eyes, and where 'tis so, the offender's scourge is weighed, but never the offence. To bear all smooth and even, this sudden sending him away must seem deliberate pause. Disease desperate grown by desperate appliance are relieved, or not at all. How now? What had befallen? Where the dead body is bestowed, my lord, we cannot get from him. But where is he? Without, my lord, guarded to know your pleasure. Bring him before us. Ho, Gildestan, bring in my lord. A reading from Plato's The Republic. Yes, that is the difference, he replied. And each art gives us a particular good and not merely a general one. Medicine, for example, gives us health, navigation, safety at sea, and so on. Yes, he said. And the art of payment has the special function of giving pay. But we do not confuse this with other arts, any more than the art of the pilot is to be confused with the art of medicine, because the health of the pilot may be improved by a sea voyage. You would not be inclined to say, would you, that navigation is the art of medicine, at least if we are to adopt your exact use of language? Certainly not. Or because a man is in good health when he receives pay, you would not say that the art of payment is medicine. I should say not. Nor would you say that medicine is the art of receiving pay because a man takes fees when he is engaged in healing. Certainly not. And we have admitted, I said, that the good of each art is specially confined to the art? Yes. Then, if there be any good which all artists have in common, that is to be attributed to something of which they all have the common use? True, he replied. And when the artist is benefited by receiving pay, the advantage is gained by an additional use of the art of pay, which is not the art professed by him? He gave a reluctant assent to this. Then the pay is not derived by the several artists from their respective arts. But the truth is that while the art of medicine gives health, and the art of the builder builds a house, another art attends them, which is the art of pay. The various arts may be doing their own business and benefiting that over which they preside, but would the artist receive any benefit from his art unless he were paid as well? I suppose not. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. Northree Star visitor spoke to me, saying, "Humaculate of Era, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn?" Of an afternoon, a 120-year-old human put this question to me, saying, "Even at this stage in my life, is it still possible for me to begin to think as one like you do, to begin to be able to think like unto a humaculate?" "Yes, of course, why not? It is certainly possible. How should I go about it? What have you tried?" "I have ascended and descended the dizzy summits of arithmetic and mathematics." "What else have you ascended and descended?" "The dizzy summits of physics, chemistry, and biology." "Anything else?" "Yes, I have ascended and descended the dizzy summits of language." "What else have you ascended and descended?" "The dizzy summits of all the major religions." "Anything else?" "Yes, I have ascended and descended the dizzy summits of philosophy." "What else have you ascended and descended?" "The dizzy summits of law and politics." "Anything else?" "Yes, I have ascended and descended the dizzy summits of psychology and psychiatry." "What else have you ascended and descended?" "The dizzy summits of economics and business." "Anything else?" "Yes, I have ascended and descended the dizzy summits of astronomy." "What else have you ascended and descended?" "The dizzy summits of science in its entirety. But now, when I come to think of it, there is nothing that I haven't ascended and descended in my quest for knowledge. And yet, although I have done so, I feel when talking with you that my knowing of things is but that of the level of a toddler. How can that be so?" Instead of descending, you should have let your thoughts take flight, as a flock of cosmic birds, to glide themselves carefreely out beyond the sun and the galaxy, to be heading away nicely, way over by way over, be ever overgoing. And that was as far as our conversation could go, for he had second, third, fourth, and fifth thoughts about letting go into safe keeping, all that he did know. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, you will be given to hear the voices of the heavens, those of the planets, stars, and galaxies, as well as those of the prolific inhabitants of the vast spaces of these in between and all about. Remember whenever and wherever to bravely speak out on issues when you know quite well you ought to. Refuse to let yourself silence you. The upcoming repeal here on the Isle of Ireland of the 8th Amendment of the Constitution Act of 1983, which acknowledges the right to life of the unborn with due regard to the equal right to life of the mother, is such an issue in need of your courageous response. Say no on Referendum Day, Friday 25th of May, to the making of a law that would fast-track us as individuals and as a people to inhumanity. The beloved lives in the wombs of tomorrows will to us in their own way be eternally grateful and ever so proud of us. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind, bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes Monday to Friday, and occasionally on the weekends. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseTDramascripts.com. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.